you know, oftentimes we get so wrapped up in our daily work that we do forget about the people that care about us the most and that are there for us every single day, whether we're there or not. And so I've promised that when I get back, what I am going to do is I'm going to have that quality time with my family. And at the end of the day, we're still going to do surgery and I'm still going to love all my staff and going to roll out the red carpet for my surgeon because I have great surgeons. But I'm also going to do that for my family too. And this really made me realize how much that I could be doing when I am at home.
Every day, they slay the dragons of healthcare-acquired infections and dangerous microbial fire breathers. While you may not see them during your next hospital stay, they will be there ensuring the safest possible surgeries by skillfully wielding their disinfecting weapons of mass microbial destruction. They are sterile processing professionals. And this is Beyond Clean, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are pushing the global sterile processing industry forward. Join us every week as we introduce you to the unsung heroes, leaders, and innovators who are fighting dirty around the globe. And now, it's time to go Beyond Clean.
Joining us now is Kate Lee for our special COVID-19 series. Kate has been in the healthcare industry now for 12 years as a registered nurse, working almost exclusively in periop. She currently serves as the Director of Surgical Services at Capital Regional Medical Center in Tallahassee, Florida, and she also serves in the Armed Forces. And Kate, that's actually what kind of attracted us to a post that you made a while back on LinkedIn that got everybody's attention, that at the time that everybody was kind of running away from these highly infected areas with COVID-19, you were one of the people who said, you know what, I'm going to run into the area. So we want to get to that. But before we do that, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got to this point.
Okay. Well, first, I'd like to say thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm very excited and thankful and honored to be here. So about me, I've been in the healthcare quite some time, and what got me to this point, I'm in the Navy Reserves as an officer, as a periop nurse, and I got a phone call on a Friday that said I was going to get deployed to fight the COVID-19 fight in New York City, and that Sunday, I was on an airplane heading to New York. I've been in the Navy for about 8 years. I've had many collateral duties, as they call it, but I've served as a periop nurse my whole career. So I've never really worked anywhere else but in surgery. And that's really how I got to New York.
Thank you for giving us a little bit of background. Kate, you've been in New York now for a couple weeks, basically what folks are referring to as ground zero of COVID-19. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's been like for you joining these nurses, these doctors who had been fighting COVID-19 in such a concentrated area for months now? What was it like then coming in to kind of join the ranks?
Well, I can tell you that my head was spinning. I had no idea what I was going to do. I know that there wasn't any surgeries going on, and you know, my skill set is different than working in the ICU. So, you know, I had a little bit of concern about that, but once I got to New York, I did some in-processing and some training at the Javits Center, and that's where I got my assignment. They assigned me and 20 others to Woodhull Hospital in Brooklyn. And there were 4 periop nurses, and none of us have ever worked anywhere but in the OR, which is kind of odd. But they actually assigned us to a seasoned ICU nurse. So we paired with them because at the end of the day, I'm a nurse and I can take care of patients. I may not know all the ins and outs of ICU, but I know how to take care of patients and I can follow directions. And so that's really the concept that they had us, the periop nurses, is that we were going to be support nurses, and that's what we did. I can tell you the day that resonates the most with me is going to be Easter Sunday. We got to the unit. Our unit was a MedTele floor that they had converted some room for ICU beds and for ICU COVID patients, which I was trying to soak up everything I could because back in Tallahassee, I've had many meetings talking about how we were going to convert our Med-Tele floor into a COVID ICU unit. And then also our recovery area was going to be, you know, if it flowed over and we needed to, we were coming up with a plan. And so all the meetings that I was in Tallahassee, it was kind of coming to life when I got here in New York. But on Easter, I'll never forget that day. It was so many patients were coding and people were running to one room to the next room. And, you know, you could hear over the intercom code blue, this room number. And, you know, people were gathering and the crash cart was back and forth. It was very emotional and physically draining for the whole team. And I had never experienced anything like that before. In fact, there was one time when I looked at the seasoned ICU nurse, he's in the Navy with me as well. And I said, I just don't know how you do it. I wouldn't be able to do this every day, every shift that I would come to work. I don't think emotionally I could handle it. And he said, Kate, he said, this is not normal. This isn't a normal situation. I mean, we all felt that it was truly a crisis situation that we were in. And the best that we could do was take care of the patients that we had and just survive through the day. And those patients are so sick. And I'll never forget that day. I'll tell you, I've never worked on the floor, but when I would go in to assist these patients, you know, I would tell them about back home and tell them about my family. And it was just very emotional. And so I would say probably a week later, I came to the floor and my little patient that I had been telling my whole family history and about the beaches of Florida, he was off the vent awake. And I just wept. It still gives me chills to think. I didn't think he was going to make it. And just to see this one patient, and he was talking to me, it was just amazing. And I'll never forget it. And it is stressful here. And all of the nurses on those floors, they're working so hard for these patients. But I feel honored to be here. This community has really supported the Navy being here. They're so thankful for us. I mean, they will, as you're walking down the hallway, like they're just like crying and thanking us. It's very overwhelming and touching. This community has been great.
Wow, that's an incredible story. So I'm very curious about what the life outside of the hospital was like. I think typically when you think about New York, you think about, well, very much not what it is right now. And so I'm curious, what did you do when you weren't actually at the hospital serving? You know, how did you fill your time, or was it just complete exhaustion?
So the first night, there was a couple of us that decided to go hunt for food. There's not a lot of restaurants that are open right now. So we kind of walked around and found a little place that you could buy food and take it, you know, like carry out. And I've never been to New York. And I can remember, and I actually took a picture, the gentleman that was with us, he said, so you're standing at Times Square. There's the ball, the ball that they release on New Year's. And it was just the weirdest thing because there was not one person on the street. We were literally the only people out there. And it's just, there's not a lot of people out and we don't really have a lot to do here. So most of the time, you know, we walk to Target or we'll walk down to the Hudson River where we can do physical exercise and things like that. Because most of the time I spend it in my hotel room. I'm FaceTiming, you know, my son, I'm checking his homework through FaceTime. Thank God for the internet. And the reality is that, I spend a lot of time by myself, you know, in my hotel room. And we're all doing that because at the end of the day, we don't want to submit ourselves to any more chance of getting sick.
When you spend all of that time alone and in the hotel room and trying to keep up with your family. I have small kids too, and I know Michael does as well. And I honestly, it's hard for me to even imagine, you know, being away from them for an extended period of time. And so my heart just goes out to you in that regard, just from mom to mom, but also when you're in your hotel room and you're, I'm assuming you're probably watching the news every once in a while, what's going through your head when you see announcements? And I guess, how do you reconcile what you're seeing on the front lines with announcements of businesses starting to reopen and elective surgery starting to be allowed and almost this sense that maybe normal life is on the horizon again? How do you balance those two almost conflicting emotional energies?
It is conflicting. And sometimes I think, you know, we do need to get back to living our life. But at the same time, we also need to be cautious. And from what I can tell, and well, I can tell you, I don't watch the news a lot, but the little bit of news that I have been able to watch, it does seem like that we're opening things gradually, which I think is smart. However, we still need to be very cautious and still keep our distancing and washing our hands and mask and all of the things that are keeping us safe when it's rampant. We also need to make sure that we still take those precautions so that we're not causing another increase in this virus.
So, Kay, given your position as, you know, an OR director, and like Lindsay said, a lot of facilities are beginning the ramp up. They're starting to think forward to beginning some elective surgeries again. What is it that maybe you're learning now or just something you've picked up that you're hoping to bring back with you to when you return to normal life, quote unquote, as an OR director? What is it that you're hoping to bring back?
Well, I can tell you that I had a conversation with my husband on the way to the airport, and this deployment was not voluntary for me. They didn't say, hey, Kate, do you want to go? I mean, it was kind of like, hey, pack your bags, you're leaving on Sunday. So it was an emotional roller coaster for my family, for me, for my staff. And I'll never forget, my husband came and said, hey, do you want, you know, Aiden is our son. Do you want Aiden to ride to the airport? And I said, no, you know, we need to have a conversation. And so on the way to the airport, I said, okay, these are the things that I need you to promise me, because at the end of the day, I may not come back from this deployment. And he, you know, of course said, don't be silly, but I needed this closure. And so, hey, you know, I need to make sure, you know, this is the way we're going to handle things. And I'll never forget, he said, okay, now it's my turn. So when you get back, I need you to leave your work at work and come home to us and not work. And so that resonated a lot with me. And I have spent a lot of time in this hotel room thinking about that. And, you know, oftentimes we get so wrapped up in our daily work that we do forget about the people that care about us the most and that are there for us every single day, whether we're there or not. And so I've promised that when I get back, what I am going to do is I'm going to have that quality time with my family. And at the end of the day, we're still going to do surgery and I'm still going to love all my staff and, you know, I'm going to roll out the red carpet for my surgeons because I have great surgeons, but I'm also going to do that for my family too. And this really made me realize how much that I could be doing when I am at home. And so that's probably what I'm going to bring back the most. And on top of, you know, this is a crisis situation and anything can happen. And never in a million years would I ever think that we would not be doing surgery. And so to prepare for all of that, you can't even imagine thinking that you're so secure in your position and then all of a sudden you're not. So I think just the reality of it is, you know, we should be prepared, but also take a look around at what we do have and make sure that we're spending that quality time with our family.
Yeah, that's a powerful message. Kind of along those same lines then, what message do you want to communicate to other healthcare professionals and even the general public who might actually be listening to this interview? What do you want to tell them?
I think the main thing right now is, even though it does seem like things are getting back to somewhat normal, or maybe we're on the downslope of the curve, it could still increase and it could get bad again. So we just need to be cautious and still try to stay at home when we need to and wash our hands. My biggest thing is don't touch my face. And so I have consciously said, don't touch your face, Kate, because you just don't know what's on your hands, and wash your hands constantly. And so I think the biggest thing is just awareness. So I think we're on the downside of this curve, but it could go back up in a day.
And that was Kate Lee, Director of Perioperative Services at Capital Regional Medical Center in Tallahassee, Florida, giving us her experience on the front lines. Kate, thank you so much. That was an incredibly powerful story. And I hope that we can have you back at some point for an actual podcast interview, one of our standard series, because I think your experience both in the front lines and as a perioperative director would be incredible for the podcast. So thank you for your service. Thank you for what you've done, and stay safe and come home.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.